S-C-U.
You are now listening to Shattercast Uncut. Prepare to be shattered with your host, Matt Baldwin, Skullface, Greg for Mercy, Oscar NJ Boy, T2RX6, Mega 8-1.
Welcome to Shattercast.
Okay, what's up, everybody? This is like a bonus episode this week because there wasn't much news and we were all together, so we figured why not try to knock this out. It's only going to be, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, something like that, but we wanted to continue our Get to Know a Guy series, and this week, or this portion, or this version of the show, we are going to be looking at our good friend, our hostess with the mostest, Mr. Oscar NJ Boy. And we will all go around round robin and ask him some questions. So I am going to ask the first question. And as somebody who's really into comics also, like Oscar, like he's really impressed me with his knowledge of things outside of the Transformer fandom. So I've been wanting to ask him, can you tell me the evolution of your fandom? Like, what was the first thing you kind of became a fan of, and then where did it grow from there, and then where are you now?
I was like 6 years old, and my dad came home with a comic book that a buddy from work left him, and it was an issue of Green Lantern and Green Arrow, and actually it was all in Spanish at the time. When I was younger, I could only read in Spanish, so it wasn't really a bad thing. So I really got captivated by what they can do and stuff like that in that comic, and I really kind of became like really I'd say obsessed with it. You know, like when I'm younger, there's a photo of me when I was a kid that I have a Green Lantern shirt on and everything, and it just, there was like this whole new world has been opened up to me where people don't you dare close your eyes.
sorry, I'm a huge Aladdin fan. I'm bad.
But like I said, a whole new world was open to me, and like there were other superheroes, and there was not just this guy with a ring and a guy with a a quiver and a bow and arrow set. There was also this guy dressed up like a bat, you know, and this guy with a big S on his chest. So I got hooked on the comics as I grew older, you know, when I was like 8, 9 years old, Transformers came into play again, and I kind of got more focused on that because it just seemed, you know, a Transformers a 20 times more interactive than like the old like Kenner DC like Secret War figures that were out for a while. Like I had some of those and Transformers Secret Wars.
Superpowers.
It's just the DC. Yeah. Superpowers. That was the DC. The Marvel one was the Secret Wars, yeah. But I don't remember who made them, but
Toy Biz. Toy Biz?
Like my uncle's.
Toy Biz?
I don't remember, but they seem more interactive because whereas, you know, you if you had a Flash figure, you squeeze the legs, his arms would go back and forth. But Transformer, on the other hand, you know, you switch them around, they go from a robot to a vehicle. So as I got older, I always kind of been stuck on the comics and stuff like that. So I remember a lot of big events and stuff like that, but Transformers has been one of the few things that's been like kind of a constant. Whereas comics have faded in and out of interest when it just gotten ridiculous. Like when they killed off Superman, really got into it. When they brought him back, like, not even a year, you know, they were making hints of him coming back, I instantly lost an interest in comic books. And then, like, it's the big events that kind of drive me back into it. Like, the breaking of the Batman got me back into comic books.
Yes.
You know? And recently is the now talk of DC's new event coming up called The Convergence. And me watching shows like Green Arrow and The Flash has gotten me back into comic books and just making me and I mean, and just as nostalgic, just reading an old issue of Batman as I do when I fiddle with a G1 toy. So
nice. All right, next up, let's go Matt. Let's go Matt.
Bigger dick or $10,000 for Transformers?
What the?
Okay.
No.
That was a good question.
He wants to know the answer to that. Now he doesn't know.
I would take the $10,000, man.
Hey, I got one. Olsen Twins or Runabout, Runamuck, BotCon, or TFCC set?
No, without question, Charlie Sheen.
Seriously, what is your favorite character and why?
From the Transformers franchise?
Yeah, Transformers.
It's like I've always kind of had this unrequited love for Rodimus because I kind of think he got the dirt, like, you know, he got underhanded pretty bad in the cartoon. Like, before we recorded, it was always like the Bobby said something like he always felt like he was having to live up to Optimus Prime's shadow. I kind of think the fact that they put him there that it kind of screwed the character over. They made him really, really mopey and shit. And I really like his approach in the comic books now where he's like this arrogant, cocky little dude and, you know, wants to take everything head on. It just sucks we don't have a decent figure for him yet. You know, that'd be like my prized joy. Like, I have my masterpiece Rodimus.
A cloud.
Yeah, the cloud. There's always that, but it's not worth paying that much for a fucking Springer mold. But at the moment, it's Rodimus, and when it comes to like the third party world, it's the fucking Warden. So,
what's your favorite? What's your favorite gimmick? As far as Transformers, like Headmasters, Power Master. Well, that's all about the same thing.
Yeah.
Headmasters, Triple Changers, Combiners. Fucking laser rods, Micromaster bases,
Automorphs. Is that in there? No. It'd have to be like the whole Headmaster, Target Master gimmick. If the guy could ride and said, you know, what they call them in Headmasters, Transector, that always really amazed me when I was a kid. I always thought it was cool. You could have a chrome dome and you could drive the car around, you know, and then have to pretend you had a human. So I really like the Headmaster gimmick.
You didn't like the Energon Combiners?
No. No, I don't think anyone liked the Energon Combiners.
You didn't like Hot Rod and Prowl together?
No. God, no. That was an awful figure, too.
Antoine,
okay.
You got one?
Wild Blues of Florida. Why not New Jersey?
Oh, that's a good
question. Yeah, I am from New Jersey. The joke is I'm from the South, but I was born and raised in Jersey City, New Jersey. I moved down to Florida because my family was they bought a house on here, my mom and my stepdad. And the intent was to move down and help them get all settled in. And when that happened, I went back up to New Jersey. And when I went back up to New Jersey, I basically had a roommate, a whole living situation set up, but it kind of fell through because dude fell in love and let his girl move in, but his girl had a kid, and so he moved into the spare room. So, and then living in New Jersey is immensely expensive. Like, just for a small hole in the floor basement studio is like $1,100 at the time, just for rent, and that's not utilities and shit included. So, I was like, you know what, Florida's nice, and we moved down here, and I kind of got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why
Justin,
I live
you
in.
Got one.
Yep. So, as many people know, Oscar is our resident animator, making our S-Squirrel and the promo he made earlier.
Yep.
So who's your, and this is not limited to Transformers, what's your like favorite character to draw? And yeah, that's it. No end.
Long, wow. When it comes to Transformers, the easiest guy to draw, I've gotten pretty good at Megatron. I've shown you guys in the chat the picture I drew of him holding a Ultron's head in one head and Brainiac's head in the other with the Infinity Gauntlet. Megatron's gotten really easy. The hardest guy I've drawn hands down was like Skids for that promo we did for the reaction to the trailer. That was a fucking bitch to make. But non-Transformers, it's toss-up, like, because Deadpool's just basically Spider-Man with guns. And Spider-Man's cake, but I've never been a fan of the character. Batman's always fun to draw, challenging.
I agree with that. That is challenging.
Because it's Batman.
It's those characters that are super iconic, man. Like, it's like intimidating to fuck with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like the number one rule, like, when you draw that stuff too, like when you talk to people in the comic book industry, is if you go to submit to Marvel and DC, you find an editor in a convention, show him drawings of like really obscure Marvel or DC characters, and that'll catch their eye more than here's my Batman or here's my Joker.
Right.
Now it's like here's my Pharaoh. Who's that? Oh, he was a villain of the Teen Titans. I'm not sure about that, but here's Jericho. Who's that? Well, he's Deathstroke's son, you know, and his only power was he could possess people. He was a Teen Titan, you know. Like, the more obscure characters that they have the rights to, are like, oh, we could bring him back. This guy could be the style. Look, you know, that's how you get your foot in the door, more likely than that.
I have a question that kind of stems from that. So, you know, for those who don't know, like, Oscar does all the R animations that we've done. He also does plenty on his channel, and he's done stuff for Dub K. He does all the, like, the voice act, like, the voices, like, the voice acting stuff. He usually does all himself and all that kind of stuff. He does our Megatron. He does our Asian guy. He does our German guy. He does the French guy. He does the Russian guy. He does, you know, on and on and on.
Wait, are you talking about Sex Life? He's rolling the show.
No, we're talking about our Sex Life. And then my show, right? I'll never forget that. It's always three ways.
And he also draws and does that sort of business as well. And hosts this podcast, which I think, I don't think anyone would deny that he does a fucking bang up job at. If you could land your dream job, would it be one of any of those? And if it were, which would it be? Like those types of things, either voice acting or animating or drawing or hosting a radio show or something like that.
Yeah, I tell you right now, probably because like I think about it all the time, like especially like I'm getting a submission pack together with this comic book company for a title I really want to launch. And I got a buddy of mine that's I've been bouncing ideas off of through Facebook. And, you know, we meet in person because he has family that live down here. And, you know, as much as I think about, like, well, how cool would it be to start your own comic book? And then, like, you take a second and think about how much of a pain in the ass it is for you to do one of your drawings, Bobby. Now, look at a comic book and look at, like, Greg Capullo's run on Batman. And look at all that detail he puts in there. And then you kind of get a little intimidated, like, wow, you know, like, because I could draw all this, but the moment an editor sees that, it'll be like, that's fucking stupid. You know, like, you got to redo this. And you're like, but I busted my ass. He won't care. You know, so, like, running a radio show isn't all that easy either. You know, like, the easiest thing I could think of I would like to be professionally would be, like, a voice actor. Mostly because nowadays a lot of the stuff you still need to be in L.A. to fucking do. You know, even to audition you could send files, but if they want you there, you got to be out willing to go out there to do it. Right. So I'd love to be a voice actor. I'd love to sit there and stand in front of a microphone and pretend to be someone else and get paid an absurd amount of money per hour to do it, but
I burn.
I got that. Who's next? Deluxe.
I say everybody knows you're a Seeker fan and everything. So if you can make up your own Seeker to join, you know, the Seekers, who would it be, and you know what kind of personality would he have?
I don't know, honestly. Because like I'm like, you know, it's funny because my love for the Seekers like changes. Like I'm still a Thundercracker fan, which is just amazing article how that's a racist fucking term and has.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who posted that? They posted a link about a petition. I read that. I was like, that's hilarious. But it's like my love for them like changes. Like I don't think much of the Coneheads, you know. But if I was to make my own, he'd probably be a Conehead because they don't get enough attention. And he'd be a pretty ruthless motherfucker. Like, he wouldn't be like a yes man that secretly plots like Starscream, you know, or a fucking bully like Skywarp, or just someone that's conflicted with his values and morals. I think he would have to be like a straight up full blown sociopath, you know, in psychotic individual. Like, the example of being a Decepticon to the extreme. So.
Oh my god. I'm sorry, somebody topped in the fucking shit.
God dang. Which classic TV show do you think best represents Hispanic American culture? Greg, that is a racist question.
Chips or cops? Come on, you gotta answer. Like... Chips or cops? Right,
that's
do you think Defensor looks like chips?
Neither.
Oh, neither. I love you,
any Oscar. John Leguizamo, any episode of John Leguizamo's fucking TV show he had for a while. How's that?
Oh, Spawn?
Yeah. No. Oh, he actually had his... Didn't he have his own... No, he had a stand-up called The Pest. No, that was a movie. No. But he had his own stand-up, though.
Didn't he have his show House of Buggin?
House of what?
Buggin.
Bungies.
Buggin? House of Buggin? I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he was... Wasn't he in The Talking Dead or something?
Oh, never mind.
Did you have a question, Greg?
That it already got asked in the background. That's all that is. I mean, I'll ask it out loud. I don't care, but I think we've already answered it. I want to make Matt laugh.
No.
Justin.
Outside of G1, what's your favorite fiction related to Transformers?
Outside of favorite fiction. There was a while where the Dreamwave stuff was actually kind of good. Like, I like Stormbreaker. That was actually really neat. I really like that. I like the way, like, because, you know, I'm one of those guys that it's the artwork that kind of pulls me to a comic. I think it's the artwork that sells the comic, which is why, like, you know, Bobby, you cracked that joke about reading the Transformers UK stuff because you can't read it because that shit just looks, like, so bad on the inside.
Yeah.
But that's a prime example where the writing really helps out the comic book more than the artwork. So it's kind of weird. Like, I would have to say at the moment it's like the earlier IDW stuff, your All Hail Megatrons and all that stuff there. The Decimation, all the Shun titles that came out, those are really interesting to read. So that nothing else really captures me. Like, the Beast Wars stuff was good, but it was limited.
Right. So, all right. Here's a question, and you're gonna want to do some thinking on this, but you don't have the opportunity. Guns to your head, luggage is sitting in front of you, and a decision has to be made. You're gonna go to an abandoned island for the rest of your life, and you can take five movies in the catalog. Who is fucking shaving?
Who's rapping? Who's DJing?
Five movies or the catalog and the catalog of five musical artists. What are they?
Five movies of five musical artists.
Yeah.
Number one would have to be Big Trouble in Little China. Kurt Russell. I fucking love that movie.
Good choice.
Certain reasons. Number two would obviously have to be The Dark Knight, which I give that movie a lot of shit, saying it's a little overrated because of Heath Ledger's death, but it's still a really enjoyable film. Number three would have to be the Donner cut of Superman 2 because you get to see General Zod hold a fucking M16 and unloading because that was awesome. Number four would have to be Freddy versus Jason because I watched that again today and I discovered it's got its own little charm. So, and Gary Chalk was a sheriff.
There you go.
And number five would probably have to be any one of the Naked Gun movies. I thought those were awesome. That was his niche, man. That was his thing, dude.
Yeah,
like, they can make all these epic date movies and shit, but without Leslie Nielsen, they're gonna fail.
I can't wait until we do this for Deluxe, but I feel like I know the movies he's gonna take with him. So,
Transformers 1-4, Part 5 bootleg production roll. No, five music CDs, whatever I take. Number one would have to be Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. Really nostalgic over that album. And number two would have to be...
Hey, Greg.
Right,
stop
man.
Eating chips.
It's not a dick.
What?
Into your pubes.
You're rubbing I'm something not... against the mic.
No, I will...
I don't know what it is.
What?
I don't know what it is.
But I wasn't. I'm just standing here. In fact, I have my phone at my side.
Right, okay, well, there's this
noise pubes, like I said.
There's this noise of rubbing, and your face keeps popping up whenever it happens.
The corduroy pants is jogging.
You know what?
Number one would be Taxi, Reasonable Doubt. Number two would have to be Notorious B.I.G., Life After Death. That was probably one of the best rap albums I ever heard in my entire life. Number three would have to totally be, no lie, the first Linkin Park album, because when I bought that, I watched him play in the House of Blues for like in Orlando for like dirt cheap. Now it's like, you know, they want fucking absurd amounts of money for a fucking ticket, whatever. And my last one I take with me would most likely have to be Jesus Christ, it does require a thing.
That's a good person to take with you.
Huh?
That's a good one to take with there, Oscar. Jesus Christ.
I like to bring my Bible. That's a good the audio CD. No, I don't know, man. Fucking my jam. I've been jamming out the Avenged Sevenfold lately, so why not?
Yeah.
So,
How
with it?
I want to just add real quick that in Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt, he has this line on there that I absolutely love. It's actually the line that made me like when I listened to him. I didn't really care for Jay-Z, but when I heard this line, it snapped me out of it, and I said, like, oh, wait a minute, I need to pay attention to what this guy's saying. But he had this line where he was talking about, like, this guy died. Like, it was, like, a rival drug dealer to some other drug dealer. It might have even been to him. I can't remember the context of it, but that guy died. And he's like, so I walk past his casket feeling sarcastic. Like, look at you. You're still sleeping, you poor bastard.
I was about to say, maybe it was his brother. Because, you know, like, he shot his own brother in the back over jewelry.
Yeah.
That's some shit.
Yeah, that was.
Now I'm the richest man in Brooklyn. Holla. Holla.
No, I do it for hip hop. I do it all for hip hop.
Okay.
Do it all for hip hop, right, Kanye? I'm going to let you finish, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
There's this Tracy Morgan skit. I don't know if you've ever heard it, where like it's like he does like all the voices. It's like Jay-Z, DMX, and LL Cool J at this breakfast, like this corner store deli, ordering a breakfast sandwich.
That's Ari Spears. Ari Spears.
Oh yeah.
Ari, those guys.
Dude,
he does Shaq hustle too, man.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I want the bacon, egg, and cheese for Brooklyn.
Oh man, I'd have to,
on the salt, dog. My blood pressure, my blood pressure.
I'd have to actually be honest. I'd take out one of those CDs. I'd take out the Linkin Park. I'd put DMX's "It's Dark and Hell Is Hot," mostly because of that song. Nigga's Done Started Something, the very last song on that track on that CD.
His first three CDs were pretty good.
It was actually out like a year before that CD was out.
Yep.
Yeah, DMX does shit, man. Too bad he went fucking bat crazy, but man, his start.
It's crack.
It was good.
It's because of crack.
Yeah, crack. Crack's a powerful drug.
He passed away in 2010, but he said the best thing I ever heard about DMX. He said when DMX came out, he had a certain amount of shit he had to say. And in those first two albums, he said it. And then he was
like, no, the third one was pretty good.
Then the rest of the shit was boxing magic.
No, the third DMX CD was good. That was with the what was that one?
You know what? I totally agree with you on that, Bobby. Wait, I can see him setting this shit up. He's like making a plan, and he's got like a fucking like a dry erase board, and he's like two albums, and he's got a bunch of notes. And he's like Steven Seagal movie, and he's got some notes.
Jet Li movie. Like,
and he's like Jet Li movie. He's got some notes. He's like TV commercial. Got some notes, like reality show. There's some notes and a big question mark and a circle, and then it was like celebrity boxing match. and then in quotation or parentheses it says "whitest man possible," question mark underneath it, and then a bunch of drawings of dogs. He was supposed to box Zimmerman, George Zimmerman.
Zimmerman over the whole ordeal down here.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That for charity. Happened. Do you remember Sticky Fingers like, from Onyx box that white guy?
And then the shit never happened.
Who did he box?
Sticky Fingers?
I remember that, yeah. Who did he box?
I forget his name, but the white dude kicked his ass.
Yeah.
Man, that slam shit was awesome.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, your guns anyway, in the air.
Nah, say that. Well, it's like I grew up on like man, in totally, Jersey.
That totally crossed out shit, man. Was the fucking shit.
Totally crossed out.
Oh, it's crossed
out. I'm picturing Matt putting his pants on backwards.
I did.
Oh, hold up, man. I gotta unzip my butt to take a leak. Hell yeah.
I was totally crossed out. Fuck that shit. Everybody was. That's
my G1 Soundwave in my front pocket, literally.
Yeah. Deluxe, do you have any another question for Mr. Oscar?
No, he didn't like my last one, so fuck him.
That's funny.
No, I'm good. I know everything about Oscar. He's the best. He's
it's not for you. It's for the listener.
It is for me too. I'm a listener.
Who?
And goddamn it, I love that fucking Cuban.
Greg,
no, I'm good.
Oh, do I have a question for Oscar? God damn it. What could I ask Oscar? Everything I'd want to ask Oscar has already been asked. Do you have any advice for people who are the youngins, the youths, who are just now getting in Transformers collecting? Do you have any observations from your time
that you would say
tips, tricks?
You should probably go to the Cybertron Cafe if you're not willing to get raped for eBay prices, because they will take care of you there. B, when you collect, do it responsibly and understand that, you know, if something breaks, it's not really the end of the world. There's always a way to fix it. You live in a day and age where the internet is a standard in the American home, so you can always look it up, find a way to fix it if it's possible. B, keep your receipts. Yeah, that's right. And if you do buy something from eBay, read the item description.
Oh, yes. Reading is fundamental.
Read the item description. Because when I started eBaying hard a few years ago, I learned that lesson the hard way.
Did you buy boxes?
I did. I bought a box.
Oh.
The description said figure, not in box. I was like, yeah, I just got this UN Starsky for like 15 ship. Man, fucking dumbass. I'm saying with a fucking.
Oh, that sucks. Man.
I got fucked. But yeah, no, like obviously, like nowadays, especially with Facebook and stuff, you should go to the groups first. And obviously, you should go to the cafe admin by Greg and his buddies there. You know, try that other areas first where you go being dedicated to go the route of eBay. That's just about it. Just be responsible about it.
What you call T2RX6? Do you have any more questions for Oscar?
Which character, human or otherwise, do you think you can most identify with, Rapido?
That's racist.
Rapido?
He's a Rapido.
Rapido? I mean, Rapido?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yes, that one. I'm very identified with the only Hispanic sounding Transformer ever.
Wait, what were the?
What about the RD drift?
Kind of. No. What about those? Whatever they red and blue fucking jump starters. The Mexican ones, the ones that TFCon homage.
Oh yeah. What the heck are they like? I can't even think of their names. Like Salt Man Z or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Sure. Let's go with that. Let's keep this racist completely. Never felt more comfortable in my life with a group of people till today.
A legitimate question, I guess, and it doesn't have to be related to like Transformers at all. It could be if you want, but being that Oscar is the man of many voices, and you know, you can be as racially insensitive as you want. I don't give a shit. If you were to design a supervillain or enemy bot, you know, come on, some characteristics. You know, you have this in your head.
How would he be?
Yeah, like no mannerisms. What would he do? What was, you know?
If I was to design the ultimate villain, he would have to be someone that I insist that he's able to blend in with the everyday individual.
So not gay Hitler.
No, not Hitler. I'm talking like Hitler. No, I don't know. He'd obviously would be like a. He'd be like a really ruthless, very, very, damn. I don't know. I've never been asked to give someone like life like that
before. Well, thank you for coming to the Marvel interview, Oscar. You will not
be. I know, right? I'm not 16. No, I'm serious. Like the last time I went into like creating my own characters up until recently, like I haven't even focused on the villains. Like the villain for the story I'm going to be pitching is like a fallen hero type of character, but like the last time I designed a villain, I was 16 and smoked a lot of weed, and it sounded like such a great idea. I called him Osgod, and it's like instead of like the Infinity Gauntlet that had 6 gems, he had 2 like arm bracelets that had 5 gems on each, because he was so powerful he made an extra set, so it doubled his power that he already had. And he wore a crown that looked a lot like Galvatron's head, but he had another Infinity Gem on there. And he had like the same type of rocks, like rock texture, like Darkseid, Bobby. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And he had a fucking cape, and he wore just a pair of trunks and boots, and he was fucking omnipotent. And then when I haven't smoked weed in years now and I drew them again the other day for the first time, I was like, this is the worst idea I've ever had in my entire life.
Oscar, huh? I have my hand raised like I'm asking a question.
Yes.
Call on me. Are we still being racist? Are we still being racist?
Sure we are. Go ahead.
Did he have his downfall when he pawned all his gems for meth?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But no, it was like that was the last time I created someone from like scratch. And whereas this one, it's like the last thing I'm doing is the design. The first thing I'm doing is actually like writing out these biographies for these characters. So I actually have something to work with and work with my pitch.
I got a question too. Hey, who do you like voicing the best? I mean, you know, you do a lot of voice characters. Who's your favorite to do? I mean, do you have a favorite one?
It's weird because it's kind of like the first one I ever did when I was a kid. That was Grimlock, because you could basically switch in and out of Grimlock without real big problem, without people getting angry, and then you come back into it like it's nothing.
Right.
So Megatron just sounds like, you know, it's an old man who smokes Newport his entire life. So you just sound like this whole time. And then, like, what I used to do is, what I still do is, like, whenever I do, like when I did Transformers Peacetime, when I was starting to get the hang of trying to voice Megatron, I'd have what I call starter lines. When I voice Wolverine for my friend Nate for his show, Deadpool and Friends, with Wolverine, he'd be like, you know, now more, come on, bub, come at me, kid. You know, and it's a play on the old 90s X-Men show voice. And for Megatron to be like, you know, it's, of course, it's a fucking line from the film that everyone quotes. But it's like when he holds that gun up to Prime and he goes, I waited an eternity for this. It's over, Prime. You know, and then there's the scene where he gets thrown out of Astro Train. He's like, wait, I still function. And then Starscream retorts, you know, what of that? And he shoots him out of the fucking Astro Train.
Very nice, man.
It's the Grimlock's my favorite because you could just, you know, it's like talking like Bizarro. You know, me, Grimlock, loves Monty Metal.
That's not a Grimlock. Cool. There wasn't anything in there about work.
I need
another crack question for you. Who would win the fight, Matt Baldwin or Robert D?
Wow!
Matt Baldwin, because he's in the military, he'd be like, "Oh, for America, motherfucker!"
We both just sit down and fucking eat. Cakes or something.
Oh, I got a better one. Who would win to fight Matt Baldwin or the hate monger from Captain America circa like 1960? The clone of Adolf Hitler, remember that? Who would win a fight with that?
Who would win in a fight? He's not on Baldwin. It's probably me, Baldwin. You're so strong with your orders.
Wow.
he probably looked that guy there and I'd be like, guess what, man? What is it, American? Tell me before you die. I just shit my pants. Straight up.
Smells bad.
Got that brown water creeping down. I don't care.
Got that brown water creeping down.
Take his Luger. He'd take the Luger from the Nazi and just like spread it, go in the middle of the floor and start playing with it.
Luger?
But that is right. It's like, fuck you, man. Go get your own gun, Merkel. He just hold up a picture of a bald eagle wearing like a backwards baseball cap. All the Nazis would pack up and go home.
Time to go home, yo. Pack your shit up. Let's get.
Let's get the shit. Go Redskins.
One to freedom. How quick are y'all motherfuckers getting back in your tanks and going to Germany? Going to Deutschland.
And the French can thank us because they be speaking German right
I'll
now.
I'll talk too much shit. Go make a Volkswagen or something because I don't care.
I got one more question. How loved do you feel after? Seriously.
Huh?
You're sitting here with five best internet friends doing this show. How loved do you feel?
I feel a lot of love. I've had my I don't want to get sentimental. I don't like it, but I've butt heads. With some of you guys on here, you, Greg, you know, Bobby, when I first met Bobby, you know, I don't think Justin and I's ever butt heads because I said this to him a lot. I think he's the most logical one out of all of us. But, you know, But I do feel a lot of love. This has been an interesting experience in my life where normally something like this, my ADG kicks in after 25 episodes and I'm like, I'm done. This I've actually looked forward to. And, you know, so there's a lot of times. It's I was never more upset when I was unable to go to TFCon over a goddamn toy convention.
Oh, yeah. Things,
you know, the wife heard it when she's like, you know, she sit there. I was like, so what you got planned for this week? I'm like, well, not in Chicago. That's not what's fucking happening this weekend. Leave me alone. I would be in my office. So I fucking closed the door.
We still had hopes, man. That whole weekend, yeah, we were still waiting. We're like, he's just kidding. He's just kidding.
Friday night, I remember we were saying, like, you know, what are the chances he's going to pop up tomorrow morning?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been. Sleep once that weekend.
I definitely would have shit my pants then, dude. Even with the chaps on.
Oh, man. It would have been game one.
Hell yeah.
There's always
a picture. That would have sucked, too. Secondhand White Castle shit.
I look forward to our next possible meetup so that way Greg and I can go halvesies on cigarettes.
There you go.
Especially if they're that expensive up north.
I'm sorry. I just saw this picture. I'm going to have to send it in the chat. But it said Terrence Howard looks like the only black guy at the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card tournament.
Hey, Bobby just died. He must be getting tired. He's getting delirious.
I mean, but I said
this
picture. Yeah, bro.
When I said this picture, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. All right. I had another question. Look, you've done a lot of, like, really entertaining shit on your channel, whether it be, like...
Send the picture.
I am. Whether it be, like, the Big Dumb Toy Reviews or the animation stuff, like, you haven't done any videos in a while. Do you have any, you know, plan on getting back to that or anything?
Yeah. Something called marriage and then having to do everything came into place, so I couldn't hinder. But as soon as I'm done with Whirl, finally done with Whirl, my plan is to get back into doing, to knock out the rest of Transformers Peacetime. I want to kind of do like my own take on, I used to do a series, because if you look at my videos, my first ones were like a really bad series called Freddy Freebird Jackson, which almost got me fired from my job as a beer guy. And...
Oh, it must have posted. Hold on.
Oh,
God.
Oh, Lord. I'm
excited. Oh, my God. That's fucking horrible.
Is that our new picture?
That is our default pick is Terrence Howard. Looking like the only nigga at a Yu-Gi-Oh! Card tournament. My God.
That's funny because it's true.
Someone needs to change the picture.
That's our new default pick. Change it, Matt. You just gotta copy and paste, buddy. Don't get lost in the process.
I think Bobby's stroking out.
It's the headphones and the face.
Justin, that is the picture I'm gonna show for this bit. Is that it is gonna be on the video screen of Terrence Howard.
Oh, God.
I forgot the question.
What are your plans? Are your plans to get back to the YouTube bit?
Yeah. I want to do Big Dumb Toy Review again because I was the shit in England. Like, a lot of my analytics came from, like, England because of Thu from Thu's Awesome Transformer Reviews, like, you know, tweeted about me a few times.
Uh-huh.
So I want to do more reviews. I like doing my quick reviews, which are guaranteed, like, under 10 minutes, whereas some guys get more into detail like yourself and Justin. You know, I just peruse over the shit I notice. I want to do more cartoons, man. But the only bitch about it is it's like, you know, these ideas come into play where it's like, I did a series called A Moment with Kang where I did, if you guys like the Rock Ford voice, you know, you'd like the original Oriental voice I did, where it was about a guy dealing with American stereotypes after he owns a Chinese takeout place, but he's not Chinese, and the way he opened his restaurant was because he did gay porn, and then he isn't. It turned into him interacting with Marvel characters and zombies, and that got really popular for a while, and now I want to redo that and be so it could be more animated and shit. I like doing that shit. I like doing like really stupid videos that some people may think are stupid, but I think they're hilarious. I can't gauge what someone else is going to think is funny, so I just do it. Like a lot of people hate Big Dumb Toy Review. Every time I sit there and I post something, I would post it on a Facebook page. Oh, there's too much yelling and cursing. Looks to curse a lot. And it's like, you know, you're taking this shit to heart, man. They're just toys.
And not only that, I would go so far as to say that they don't really fucking get it anyway. Like they don't.
Yeah, like the running gag is it's a frat boy who's drunk fucking reviewing a toy. You know, the first episode, it was like, oh, I'm 33, I should be ashamed of myself. You know, it's just
hilarious.
Random shit like that.
Yeah, I'll change the picture, man.
Oh, God.
Good stuff. That was good. That was a good laugh, too.
I think Bobby enjoyed it the most.
I haven't laughed that hard since, like, that Red Knight fucking comment freaking Greg made about Daredevil coming down and punching some...
He needs a fucking fanny pack. If he had a fanny pack on, like cocked to the side, like it wasn't a fanny pack. Like it was like a holster.
That shit took me by storm, man. Like when I was scrolling through my Instagram feed, and I came across, I thought it was gonna have something. He's on a show now, isn't he? I thought it had something to do with the show, and then I read the little caption, yeah. And I was like, oh god, oh my god. So anyway, Oscar, thanks for. Answering our questions and hopefully letting the listeners get to know a little bit more about you. To the listeners, I hope you enjoyed session 2 of 6. And Oscar, I can't have you take it out on your own fucking interview, so I will say please take care of yourselves and each other, and for the sake of Primus, please collect responsibly.
You've been shattered.
Fuck yeah.